Hi everyone. A few weeks ago, I decided to watch a documentary series on World War II on Netflix. And the documentary series shows reworked and remastered video footage, mostly in color, of the main battles and events of the Second World War. And one of the episodes showed how the German army suddenly invaded Belgium, the Netherlands, and France. That was in 1940. And this came completely unexpectedly and is probably one of the most famous surprise attacks in the war, which the Germans call Blitzkrieg. And that word literally means lightning war, likely because it's quick and destructive. Our psalm for today, Psalm 64, also speaks of surprise attacks by enemies. And we'll look at how David, who's the psalmist, responded when his enemies launched a blitzkrieg against him. So Psalm 64 starts with David's cry to God for help. He expresses his fear of a secret attack from his enemies, and he describes how his enemies prepared traps and sneak attack. He also describes the kind of weaponry that his enemies intend to use to execute their plan. And the first section of the psalm ends with a description of how the enemy is convinced that their plans will not be uncovered, and perhaps with a smug look on their faces, they kind of pat themselves on the back for coming up with such a great plan that no one's going to discover. Then the second section of the psalm shows how these plans are turned on their head, and the one who initiates and executes the turnaround is God. It's God who suddenly destroys those who were planning David's downfall. And we see that their plans backfire, and how onlookers who witness the turnaround then fear God because of this unexpected outcome. The psalm ends with a cry of praise. So it started with a cry of distress, and then it ends with a cry of praise, where David exults in the fact that his success came not from avenging himself, but rather from taking refuge in God and leaving vengeance to him. So we'll go through the psalm looking at most verses together, but I believe it would be beneficial if you pause the video and briefly just read the psalm as a whole. Now let's go through the verses and make some observations. So in verse 1 it says, "To the choir master, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God. In my complaint, preserve my life from dread of the enemy." So David actually cries out to God in his distress. He expresses what's on his mind, this situation that's causing him distress. And it isn't a threatening or harmful situation itself, such as an attack that's already happened, although this comes later, but rather he is in dread of something that has not yet happened. It's an expectation. It's something that has not yet happened that unsettles David. So we ourselves often dread something that has not yet happened. And this psalm shows us that something like that wasn't foreign to David either. These kinds of fears are real. In verse 2, it says, "Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers." The enemies are putting together plans to harm him, and they do so in secret. And he asks that God will hide him, that God will protect him in such a way that the enemy cannot see him and thereby cannot execute their plot. The next verse talks about the weapons that the enemy uses. They whet their tongues like swords and aim bitter words like arrows. These weapons are non-physical, and the weapons are speech and bitter words, perhaps referring to things like slander, false accusations, gossip, deceit, and those kinds of things. Then in verse 4 comes the actual lightning war, this sudden attack. It's an ambush. And why would these enemies employ an ambush? Likely because an ambush would provide victory when, under normal conditions, the attacker may not have sufficient power or skill or ability to succeed. And there we go back to the World War II example. Germany's army in 1940 was actually deemed inferior to the French. But the element of surprise helped the Germans to win that battle. They invaded France unexpectedly and quickly with great speed, and that gave them the victory. Then in verse 5, we read, they hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? And this reminds us of the secret nature of the enemy's plans. They think that no one can uncover their plans. Next verse, the enemies figuratively pat themselves on the back for coming up with such a great plan. They say, we have accomplished a diligent search. However, in the next verse, the turnaround happens. It says, but God shoots his arrow at them. They are wounded suddenly. So it's a transition from what looked like guaranteed victory to defeat at the hands of God. Suddenly, unexpectedly, and swiftly, these enemies are actually wounded. So they thought no one knew their plans, no one would find out, but they were deceived. Obviously, God knew all along. Verse 8 says, they are brought to ruin with their own tongues turned against them, and all who see them wag their heads. So those who initiated the attack are those who are now defeated. And they are defeated by their own plans and devices. And there's a great parallel in Psalm 7 that I'd like to read from verse 12. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. That's W-H-E-T, which means sharpening his sword. God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into that hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends. So here we see another example of where people are defeated by their own devices. Verse 9 says, then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. So this is speaking of onlookers who are perhaps surprised. They look at what God has done, this great turnaround, and they wonder how it's possible, since this is an unexpected turn of events. The last verse says, let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart exult. The solution that the psalmist provides for defeating enemies who threaten to suddenly overthrow us is to take refuge in God and not to launch a counterattack. Now, you may experience that as an anticlimax because you probably knew that Sunday school answer, that we should just take refuge in God and wait for him to act. It may be that you have tried the strategy but ended up being disappointed. Can I suggest that in those moments, we are no different from the two disciples who were walking away from Jerusalem after Jesus' crucifixion? They were walking towards the village of Emmaus. So they were disappointed at Jesus' death, at what they experienced as an anticlimax. It just wasn't what they expected or wanted. So why were they sad, and why were they discouraged at how God had decided to execute and unfold the greatest plan and victory in all of history? It's because their perspective and expectations ended at the grave. They reasoned that Jesus' death was the end of any hope, and they had fallen into the same trap of unbiblical thinking that seems to have ensnared the Corinthian church. Paul argues with the Corinthians on the topic of resurrection from the dead, and he says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. He reminds them that if their hope is limited to this life, which ends at the grave, then they really do have reason to be sad and discouraged. However, he goes on to say that there is in fact hope because Jesus rose from the dead and he has a plan for after the grave. When we're discouraged at the way God is unfolding his overall plan for victory over sin and death, but also more specifically his plan for our lives, we should stop and consider whether we haven't also limited his plan to the grave. Too often we restrict our joy and expectations to the time between our physical birth and physical death, when the biblical perspective is to rejoice in our spiritual birth without any fear of spiritual death. May God help us to seek refuge in him as we wait for him to triumph over all our enemies, and may he help us keep in mind that this is not our home, that if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are, of all people, most to be pitied.